Thank you, Jesus. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. That's my subject today, the coming of the Lord. The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. You also be that way. Be patient. Establish your hearts. Get your hearts set. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. One translator said it's near. Another one said the master could arrive at any time. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. The coming of the Lord. We're running out of time in this year of 2006. The Lord would like for that to be a reminder that we are running out of time concerning His coming. First of all, let the fact be established, the Lord is coming. Now, I tried to argue with the Lord, as we often do, reason with Him, not really argue, but reason with the Lord in the development of this message to make sure it was homiletically and in an outline correctness. And as I was dealing and going back and forth with the Lord, He just seemed to say to me, okay, do you want to preach a sermon or do you want to bring my message? So today, I just come as a messenger, just opening the envelope of the anointed Word of God and the message of God. And I'm not so worried about the contents. You know, a mailman or anybody else will get in trouble for opening the envelope and tampering with the message that is on the inside. And so I'm not so worried about the homiletics or all of the other things that are appropriate and right. But I know that upon my heart and for this service today and into the hearts of people that are seated here, need to come this message, the Lord is coming. You men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven, the angel said. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. Paul said, we are taught to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. He's coming again. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to hasten to add today, it's not very long. One saint of God, not we weren't even on this subject, but it just came out of her mouth this morning in conversation. She said, we don't have very long, Pastor. We can't stop now this close to the end. Paul said, we'll not all be sleeping. We won't all have passed from this life, but we shall all be changed. You know, the majority of this church is already in its grave. Since Acts chapter 2 until this present day, because we are so close to the coming of the Lord, more years have elapsed since this church first started than when it will all wrap up and end. But we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet is going to sound. The dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The corruptible putting on incorruption, and this mortal putting on immortality. For the Lord Himself, Paul said, shall descend from heaven with a shout. The Lord's coming down with a shout. There'll be a voice like the voice of an archangel. There will be a trumpet of God. Thank God. God for this message. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then you and I that would be alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Lord is coming. I know there's a prettier letter a man can write or I can write, a better message that could be given, but there's no truer message that could come to this church on this Sunday morning than the message, "I'm coming soon, saith the Lord. Behold, and surely I come quickly." And amen, he said to that in Revelation chapter 22. For yet a little while, the writer of Hebrews said, just a little while. Just a micron of time, just a small space of time, yet a little while, Hebrews 10 and 37 says, "And he that shall come will come." I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry, sir. You can set your own timetable. You can set your own time limit on God. But the word of the Lord said, for yet a little while. Just a little while, just a little while. One old songwriter wrote an encouraging word to the church and said, just a little while to stay here. Just a little while to wait. And while it may seem like time is going on, and men are saying as they did way back there in the Apostle Peter's day, everything continues as it was. I still hear throbbing from the heart of Scripture this verse, yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Knowing this verse, Peter said, there shall come in the last days that you live scoffers. There will be people that will scoff and be skeptical, walking after their own desires, their own lust, their own timetable. What they think about the doctrines of God and the things concerning His coming. There will be people among you, Peter said, and all of us have faced those. All of us have dealt with those. You have been bombarded with that maybe even the past month or the past few days. And here's what they say. Where is the promise of His coming? Where is the promise of His coming? I'll admit to you in total transparency and honesty for the sake of this message and for the sake of being honest and open before the Lord. There are times when it comes to my mind and my heart, is it really going to happen? And there's a doubt that wants to try to creep in. I've come today to preach against that doubt that would try to come into anybody's heart and mind to cause you to maybe think that there's not going to be a coming of the Lord or that you have all the time that you need. But I preach against that today by the help of the Lord. I can't push that back, but there's an anointing in this place, and beyond that anointing, there is a long-suffering arm of the Lord that is reaching to somebody. He wants you to be saved today. He wants you to make things right. He wants to take you into that place called heaven. He is coming soon. He said there's going to be scoffers. There are going to be doubters. There are going to be skeptics. And we live in a day that there is a strong, persuasive doubt and skepticism around us. I read this just this past week of deniers of God and people who denied God. There was a lady by the name of Christine Hewitt. She was a Jamaican journalist. She died last June 2006. Her body was found burnt beyond recognition in her motor vehicle. But earlier she had said, "The Bible is the worst book that is ever written." But the Bible will outlast a career. The Word of God is truer than any journalistic writing that can be written. John Lennon, the famous Beatle singer, said in an interview with an American magazine, "Christianity will end. It will disappear. I don't have to argue about that. I'm certain about it." Jesus was okay, but his subjects were too simple. And he made this statement in 1966, "Today, we are more famous than Jesus Christ." But after being shot six times, he went into his eternity to face the God that he had spoken about. The coming of the Lord is sure. It's reported that Reverend Billy Graham visited Marilyn Monroe just a week before her death. He said that God prompted him to go and talk to her and preach her a little mini sermon. She heard what Reverend Graham had to say. And at the end, she said, "Reverend Graham, I don't need your Jesus. 1 week later, she was found dead in her apartment. A man was elected president of Brazil during the presidential campaign. He said, if I get 500,000 votes from my party, not even God can remove me from office. He got the 500,000 votes. But the day before he was to be inaugurated as president, he passed from this life. Life is very uncertain and sure. I read those examples to you and I point them out to let you know that we can get so anchored to, and we can put so much confidence in what we have and what we are and our reputation, and maybe the crowds like this presidential candidate who said, if I've got 500,000, I don't need God. Or if I've got fame and a career as Marilyn Monroe, I do not need God. The man who built the Titanic in an interview said with an ironic tone, not even God is going to be able to sink this ship. It doesn't matter who builds it. It doesn't matter what our life is like. There is a day we're going to face and stand before the Lord. I tell you today, not in the judgmental tone, but I tell you, you can kneel at an altar and say, God, I love you. You can come before the Lord, and I feel an urgency in my spirit. And if you are a guest, and if you are a visitor, you do not understand all about the Spirit of God. You do not understand all about preaching and ministry. And perhaps this kind of message is not often preached in many circles. I don't know. I'm not there. Maybe it is. I want to tell you, I feel something pushing me. It's like it's on the inside of my body right now. And a hand behind my heart. And it is pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. He said, tell them I am coming. I'm going to tell you, any walk down that aisle, it's going to be worth it. Any tear of repentance you shed is going to be worth it. I'm going to tell you, hell is too hot and eternity is too long to waste it. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. The Bible says he's coming unexpectedly. He's coming like a thief in the night. The scripture says we do not know the day nor the hour when he is coming. He said, just know, Jesus said one place, he said, know that it is near, even at the doors. I want to tell you this morning in this message, if you believe any part of the Word of God, I'm going to literally beg you at this part of the message, please believe what the Word of God says. Know it is near the door. It is near. It is at the door. Please believe that the Lord loves you. And please believe about Calvary. And please believe about the blood. But if you wait to act on that until some future day, it could be too late. It could be too late. God is not into scare tactics. He is not into pressure. Our entire Sunday school time today was centered around the theme of a willingness to have fellowship and how it's our choice. And I told the Bible class about the artist who painted the beautiful picture of Revelation chapter 3, where the Lord said, I stand at your door, Laodicea, and I knock. And critics saw the painting and they criticized it because the artist had drawn the door without a handle as the Lord stood outside that door. And they said, there's something wrong with your painting, sir. It doesn't have a handle. He said, no, no, no. There is no mistake. The handle's not on the outside. The handle is on the inside. It doesn't matter how much I've prayed. It doesn't matter how much anybody else is prayed. Nothing can force you to an altar and to knees of repentance. I believe all of that can help. That's the reason God's sending this message today. And mama, you keep staying on your knees. And loved one, you keep staying on your knees. I'm not saying it doesn't do any good at all. But I'm just saying the handle's on your side. The handle's on the inside. And he said, if you will, he said, I'll come in. Aren't you glad he's come into your life? I'm going to tell you something. He's come into many hearts and lives here with forgiveness and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But he's in your life today by way of this message. He's brought you to this place as a merciful action on his part. He's brought you here. He said, no, that it is very near, even at the door. You do not even have to be a prophecy scholar. I am not. And you do not have to be a prophecy scholar to know and look around you. The signs are all around us. We've lived in it. It's like the little frog that was placed in the pot of water. You can gradually heat that thing, and it just gradually gets warmer. And that frog, if you threw him in a boiling, scalding pan of water, he'd try to jump out. But what's happened, and this is the way life is, they just gradually turn up the burner and turn up the heat until just gradually the temperature changes. And before it's all over, the life of that little animal is gone. He stayed in, he was comfortable, and it just got so gradual. Sin can be so gradual. Life can be so gradual until all of a sudden it's at the door. I read about one girl. Her mama was praying for her. And she got with the wrong company, and they were going out for a night of drinking. They went out, and as she left, mother was holding on to her hand. She said, "Honey, go with God and let God protect you." The young girl turned around in a smart-aleck tone, said, "Only if God travels in the trunk, because inside this car, it's already too full." You may already know where this story's going. Just a few hours later, there was the car alongside the road in the fatal accident. They said you could not even recognize that vehicle, except nothing happened to the trunk. Nothing happened to that part of the vehicle. Well, I don't have all the answers to that. I just know the Lord is coming soon. It talks about people that trample the blood of the Lord. I don't even want to do this. Please don't trample over the mercy of God. I don't care. I don't care about the blood. I don't care about the move of the Spirit. I don't care about the convicting power of God. I don't care. He said there's a possibility of trampling on the mercies of God. Don't put God in the trunk of your life. Let me ask you. You see, time don't stand still for anybody. What if we only had 5 minutes? What if you only had 5 minutes to make things right with God, to get where God would have you to be? Seconds tick away. You know, you can stop some things, but you can't stop time, and we can't stop God's time clock. We can't stop a rapture schedule. I'm going to tell you what, there is nothing worth missing the coming of the Lord and missing heaven. There is no spirit. There is no attitude. There is no sin. There is no beer. There is no addiction. There is nothing that is worth missing the coming of the Lord. There is nothing. No aversion to holiness. No aversion to doctrine. No aversion to the love of God. No aversion is worth missing it. I preach to you today, don't put God in your trunk. Getting up there in the driver's seat. Get God. Come on. It was just 424. I want 424 back, but you can't stop it. It's going to march on. I want that 5 minutes back, but you can't stop it. It's just going to keep ticking and keep ticking and keep going and keep moving. I'm going to tell you what's going on up there is what's happening in your heart and in your life. It's your destiny. It's your eternity. I told you about our neighbor, man, just two doors up, 51 years old. 51 years old. And all of a sudden, the doctor said that blood clot that's in his leg, told the lady the day before, that blood clot, it will not move to his, it won't break off. Those aren't the kind that break off. That clot broke off. That clot went to his heart, jammed that valve. And there she stood in the yard. And our next door neighbor, Carol, goes, prays with her. Becky and Carol go to the hospital with her. The man is still alive, and they're working with all their might to try to keep him alive. And Becky and Carol sit with Debbie in that hospital waiting room. And the doctor comes in, says, "Mrs. Beaver, I'm sorry. We've done all we could do. We've lost your husband." Becky said her mouth, her jaw, literally. open. It was like we fake a surprise, but she wasn't faking. If you think that I'm trying to dramatize and fake something today, if you think this church is about faking something, I want you to know it is so close. The coming of the Lord is so real and so near. Listen, I want to tell you what's holding somebody back today. You say, oh, it's all emotional. Get all emotional in a service like this one. I want to tell you, there's some sermons going to be the last one. There's some service going to be the last one. There's some songs going to be the last one. And I want to tell you, it's not living all about the fear of time and the fear of eternity. I want to go to see Him. And other loved ones. Another loved one. I want to go to see Him. I want those rewards He's promised. I want those streets of gold. Hey, what happened in 4 minutes? It was on 4 minutes the last time I looked up there. The last time I looked in my life, I was doing all right with God. The last time I looked in my life. When's the last time that you looked? When's the last time you went to your face? Said, I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm going to an altar. I'm going to tell you, you haven't failed too much. You haven't committed too much sin. You haven't erred too much. You haven't broken your family too much. You haven't done too much. God loves you. I can't promise you. I don't know. I wish somebody could push a button. I wish we could dictate how long this river of mercy is going to flow. I have never been. I told the Lord standing up there a while ago, this is one of the most awesome presences of God I have ever been in. I mean, you name it, General Crawford, because of the times, any of those great services that the Lord's allowed me. But there's been such an awesome presence that swept in here in Bible class that I just want to tell you, I don't know. Give me back that 2 minutes. Give me back that 2 minutes. But when it's too late, it's forever. Too late. Brought up in it all your life, sir, son, man, been brought up in it all your life. Don't stop now. Elder, don't get this close. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be worth it all to stand around that throne. Lift up our hands, throw our crown at His feet, be robed in a white, spotless and pure gown robe. And said, who are these? Who are these? They've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Time just keeps marching on. I can't tell you it's going to be today, but I believe it could be today. I said, I believe it could be today. Yeah, we're running out of time in 206, but here's what's more important. We're running out of time as far as God is concerned. There's not many more days. Would you stand with me, please? I'm going to tell you, there's no sermon too good to bust it up with somebody saying, I want to pray through to the baptism of God. How about it? Is there anybody in your life that you want to go and get out of that house that's on fire? And you want to go rescue them? I'm going to tell you, the prayer of the righteous man avails much. Come on, come on. Give me that 1 minute back. Give me that time back. But it's not going to stop. It just keeps on ticking, ticking. I can't get up there and change it. I can wave my hands in front of it. I can put my hands over your eyes and blind you to see what time it is. But time keeps going on. And that's what the enemy does. And that's what the spirit of this world does. We think if we don't see it, it's not there. But it's ticking down just the same. And conviction comes into a room like this. And into a service like this. God changes everything. And He said, I want him to be saved. I'm going to tell you, I don't care if I ever preach another message. This is it right here. I won't do it if the Lord allows me to, but this is the message. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. But someday it's going to be too late. No man knows the day nor the hour. Nobody. He said, I stand. He's coming. He's coming for a church. I tell somebody, stay faithful today. There's going to be a church without a blemish, without a spot, without a wrinkle. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay in God's church. Would you bow your head with me? Would you just begin to come? If you just want to make your life, your heart prepared, maybe you're already prepared and you just want to prepare it again. Or maybe you just need to make some things different or make some changes. God's about change. You don't get be perfect and come to God or be good and come to God and get good and come to God. You get God and then He perfects us. And we get God and then we get His goodness. Hallelujah. Maybe somebody wants to come and pray for somebody. Be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I don't have much time to get this bitterness out of my life. I don't have much time to get this thing out of my life. I don't have much time to take care of this sin. Come on, it's worth it. I'm going to close my eyes and say this, because I'm not picking on anybody, but I'm going to tell you everything in this building ought to be on its face somehow, or ought to be before the Lord. Everything, everything, everything. Oh, God. I don't think you need a choir director to help you to pray right now. You ought to just let it pour it, pour it, pour it, pour it, pour it. Don't put God in your trunk. Don't tell a preacher, I don't need your Jesus. I don't need you, Jesus. I don't need that Spirit. Oh, God. Oh, God. He cares for us. He loves you. That's it. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves me. Thank you, Lord. That's why He's touching you today. That's why He's putting that hand in there. He's changing things. That's right. That's it. That's why. Because He loves you. Oh, God, I thank you. Thank you for putting that message in your book. Thank you for putting those scriptures about your soon return in that book. God, I don't ever want to be repulsed by that.